Lord gave me a burden and feel like He'd have us to share this morning on the subject of living proof. And if you will turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, in the first chapter, we desire an interest in your prayers this morning. Very familiar passage. First book of Daniel, we'll be beginning. Just to summarize a little bit, because most of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the story of Daniel. Daniel was one of the children of Israel that had been taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And they had been taken to Babylon, and the wisest and the most promising young men of the captives were taken under the king's care to use as advisors. And it was actually a very smart move by the Babylonians that as they conquered people, they would take people of that nationality and elevate them to positions of authority. And so Daniel was one of the chosen. And so they, before entering into that position, they were given a special diet to eat. There was training that they went through. And they were given meat and drink that God had commanded the children of Israel not to partake of. And so then, in verse 8, we read that Daniel, with the three Hebrew children, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. So he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And verse 9 says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And so Daniel asked them, he said, would you allow us to eat just pulse? In verse 12, Daniel said, prove thy servants. I beseech thee for 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And then, in essence, compare how we look. And see who's had the best diet. Want us to understand, I know we've heard this many times, but Daniel was not trying to make spiritual waves. Sometimes people can make waves in the world out of an obstinate and stubborn heart, and they say, well, I'm gonna cause trouble and say it's because of my faith. Daniel was not trying to cause waves. He was not trying to cause trouble, but he was interested in doing what the Bible said. He did not make a big production of it, folks. I believe Daniel very quietly went to the eunuch and said, this is contrary to the beliefs. God has taught us to do differently, and we have to do that for conscience' sake. But he didn't say, just trust us. Because you note that Daniel could have pulled out some of the writings of Moses and proven his point and said, see, this is what the Bible says. This is what the writings of Moses say. This is the law of God. That eunuch had no conception of what God commanded and what He didn't. We live in a world today that has very little true knowledge of what it means to be a Christian. And Daniel did not pull out all the old manuscripts, but he said, put it to the test. He said, prove us and see if what I'm telling you is working in our life. I'm wondering this morning, can we do the same thing with our friends and family, the people we work with? Are we living proof? Because see, the scrolls were just something that were written. They were dead. But Daniel said, look on our life. And watch us and examine us and give us a few days here, and then you make the determination if what we tell you is right or not. The world needs more than ever some living proof that the gospel will work in men and women's lives. And that means the Lord is interested in all of us this morning being living proof. If we always, now the Word of God is the foundation. This is how we know what God's law is. Let's not misunderstand. That's how Daniel knew that God didn't want him to eat meat that had been offered to idols. It's how he knew that God did not want them to drink strong drink. That's how Daniel knew these things. And this is how we know God's will for our life this morning as well. But to pull out the Bible to someone and say, oh yes, the Bible says that if you serve Him, you'll have peace in your heart. And it says if you serve God, you'll be set free from sin. And why should they believe that? Because there's a lot of churches teaching a whole lot of things. There's a lot of people with a lot of different belief systems, and the Lord wants us to be like Daniel, not going out trying to make ways, but going out quietly, living a life of holiness, in that we are living proof that the gospel is a reality in this dispensation. If we always have to point back, and I want to say I am so thankful for all our heritage. I'm thankful for my spiritual heritage, and I mention them sometimes. Mention Brother Austis and Uncle Chuck and Brother Clifford Wilson. Those names don't mean a lot to you, some of you, though. And you could name names to me that I might think, I have no idea who you're talking about. It's because they're dead. These ones I'm talking about, they're gone. They're not living anymore. They influence me, and I'm thankful for it. But some of the sorrows, I hear Grandma Tinsman's name mentioned a lot. But do you know, I've learned and I've gained an appreciation by what you said, but I don't know her. So how are we going to convince the world that this works? Because we can turn and we can give all the scripture we want, but where are they going to find a reality? Daniel said, prove us. Are we living such this morning that we are living proof of the reality of the gospel? Or do we have to say, well, now the Bible says forgive your enemies. Are we living proof of that? The scripture says that, talks about what marriage is supposed to be. I just came from my parents' 50th anniversary. We had a special celebration. 50th wedding anniversary. Do you know that they are living proof of the reality of a godly marriage? They have a better marriage about than anybody I know. My parents did. And my brother, when we were talking, my brother made the comment to everyone yesterday. He said, what you see is how it was in the home. There was never any drama in our home. I'm just saying, I was there for 18 years. Never any drama in the home. Never any bickering between my mother and father. Never. You say, that's not real. Now, I told him yesterday as well. Now, we're talking about living proof. I told him yesterday, I've been married 25 years, and I've been married long enough to know there were some closed-door discussions. I know that there were some disagreements, and I know that there are things they had to work through and resolve, but they did it in a godly way. You see? That was living proof, though. It set a standard for me because I saw it being lived out. It was more than reading about what the role of a wife and a mother. And we can read in Proverbs and we can read about over in different in the New Testament about what a woman is to be and a wife. I saw that daily in my mother. She was capable, intelligent, had ability, and I saw how she treated her husband. I saw how she filled her role as a wife and a mother. That's a challenge to me. And on the same hand, I saw how my father respected and treated my mother as a lady and as a woman to be valued. They were living proof. You see, it would be one thing for us to come up and talk about what marriage is supposed to be, but it's something else to be able to look on and say, that's living proof. It works. The Lord wants us this morning to be living proof of the reality of the gospel. And it's going to take some purpose in our hearts. See, Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself. That's what brings proof, folks. Proof, by definition, is evidence. It is that which is true. It's demonstrating the truth by evidence or facts. Is it a fair question? And you may say, well, you're getting in my business. I'm not getting in your business. I want you to get in your business this morning. What does your life prove? What does my life prove? Are we proving the reality of the gospel? Or are we just another testament that you can profess to have Christ in your life, but you can still sin and still cheat and still lie and still cut corners in business to your own advantage because it's through dishonesty, and you can still fight with your husband and wife and quarreling and arguing and all of these things, and that's all okay, but we're still Christians? What is our life proving? Those of us that have children in the home, what is our life proving to our children? That's where our children are going to learn more than they learn from across this pulpit. It's where they're going to learn more from what they hear in Sunday school, and it's going to be where they learn more from what we try to teach them with our mouth at home. They are learning from the facts that we present to them based on the evidence of our life. And I am thankful this morning that there is living proof that the gospel works. And I'm not bringing this out in the spirit this morning to make any of us feel guilty, but if we're falling short, we should be challenged to know there is grace available for me that maybe I didn't prove that very good yesterday. And maybe I messed up last year, but by the grace of God, I can purpose in my heart. And with the power of God, I can become living proof that the gospel works. What are the facts? What is the evidence? You see, evidence, it's more than what we say. It's how we live our life. So Daniel purposed in his heart. They ate pulse, it said. Peas or beans. Now, the Hebrew word for that word pulse is kind of interesting. It broadens the definition. Many of us have heard pulse or beans. The Hebrew word for pulse means any plant that bears seed, and that would actually incorporate grains as well as many vegetables and fruits. But it was abstaining from the things that defiled. We are this morning strangers in this land. Jesus said we are in the world, but we were not to be of the world. So how are our purposes this morning? Daniel made an effort and a purpose. I'm not going to defile myself. The Lord is not as interested in the diet of food as in the spiritual diet of that which we consume. What are we feeding ourselves with? We live in a world that is being consumed with the entertainments and the things of the world, things of the flesh. We can prove the reality that there is joy in serving the Lord by the things that we are eating on that people can look on and say, you know what? Sister Tammy, she is happy. Well, what? It seems like I thought if you get saved, you get in the straitjacket. Can't do anything fun anymore. I believe God's people can have more enjoyment in life than anybody else. With wholesome, good things, serving the Lord, but keeping ourselves from the defilement of the world. Where's the proof? There is proof this morning, and it is living. We won't take the time to read it, but you can find over in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter. It talks about the many people that Jesus appeared to. It wasn't just Peter. It wasn't just the 12. Jesus appeared to hundreds of people after He rose from the dead. And the reason He did that was everybody could say He'd risen from the dead all they wanted, but He was living proof. There were hundreds of people that could testify, we saw that man that called himself Jesus, we saw him alive, and we have seen him hanging on the cross, and we saw him dead. He was living proof. This morning, the gospel is not dead. That ought to encourage us this morning. This is not a dead letter. But the scripture also says that the letter killeth, but the spirit what? It giveth life. If all we have this morning is a letter, the Bible says this, 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 don't do this, and we can start making big list of rules on the board. Thou shalt not do this and that. That is dead by itself. But when we take what the Bible teaches and allow the Spirit of the Lord to come in and bring our life in communion with the Lord, it gives life to it. We don't need to be afraid of purposing in our heart that I'm going to step back from the things of the world and exclusively follow the Lord Jesus. The evidence is there that it's the best and the right way. It's not a dead letter when the Spirit is with it this morning. Over in the book of Ephesians, if you will turn with me, book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He said, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Weren't we all sinners? We were all in darkness. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He said, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Folks, this is what we're called to. Daniel had his generation. He had his dispensation. But we have a place that God has committed unto us, this dispensation of the gospel. And he's saying, I want you to prove what is acceptable. Now, acceptable means that which is good or satisfies. What kind of church would we be if everyone followed our example? That's a heavy weight, isn't it? But do you know sometimes when we think of it in those terms, we start seeing ourselves a little bit better? What would the congregation be like if all of us here this morning, if we all followed the example and the pattern that you're setting? Say, well, you know, there are some things there that I probably ought to change. Probably wouldn't be real good. Do you know those are the things in our life that the Holy Spirit's saying, I want, make adjustments. Make adjustments in your life and prove what is acceptable. My grandfather told his boys, he said, boys, if you see me do something, he said, it's okay for you to do it. If you see me do something, it's all right. But he said, if you don't see me doing it, he said, you probably need to be very careful about doing those things. I say that is an example to measure to. Living proof of the reality of the gospel. He mentions the fruit of the Spirit here. In all goodness and righteousness. What's some of the fruit of the Spirit? What's some of the fruit? Okay, love. Are we living proof of the love of God? How we relate with people? How we relate with those that don't treat us right? Are we living proof of the fruit of love? Love, what's another one? Faith. Where's our trust this morning? Are we living? Okay, I know Grandma Tinsman was. But what about me? What about you? Living proof that today those around us can say, you know what? That's a person of faith. They're proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Gentleness, goodness, I already mentioned faith, meekness. Temperance? Talking about our lives being in balance. That takes the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Sometimes we start to get a little off balance and the Lord comes along and balances out a little bit. Living proof of that, folks, this is what the Lord's looking for, not just a profession. It's not just that I'm part of a church group. It's not that I attend services. It's not that I come from a good family. It's not just the profession. It's the daily living. That's where the proof is. That's where the evidence is that the Lord is looking for. And I know I touched some on marriage because I just came from that yesterday. But it's a big one in our society. How we conduct ourselves, that are we showing the world that this is more than theology? Now, because we can have our theology down. We can say, okay, well, this is right and that's wrong. You know what? We can get really dogmatic about it sometimes, can't we? We could, at least. I hope we don't. We need to speak the truth in love. The Bible is what it is. But do you realize that we're never going to convince people necessarily just by a word, because our world today is seeing this as a dead letter. What's the Bible? So what if the Bible says something? Why is that better? Why? It's just another way of life. Unless they can look on our lives and say, this is living proof. I can see that you're at peace. I can see that your marriage is strong. I can see the relationships in your life are good. I can see that you're happy. I can see joy in you. They may not understand where it all comes from, but they should be able to see a difference. So at the end of 10 days, they looked at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you remember what they saw? Said their countenances were fairer than the others that had been eating the meat and drinking the wine of the king. We have a better cup from which to drink of this morning. It's a cup of righteousness and holiness and purity, but it's going to have to go beyond the profession of the mouth. You remember when the Queen of Sheba went to examine Solomon? She had heard great things about Solomon's wisdom and his wealth. You can find it in the 10th chapter of 1 Kings. And she went there and she searched him out. She questioned him. She looked at his servants. And does anybody remember what her response was after examining the proof? Because she'd heard it and she didn't really believe it. I heard that he was this way. I heard of his wealth, but you know what? That's not even possible. I don't believe it. So she went to see for herself. And do you remember what her conclusion was? What was it? Yeah. The half has not yet been told. I mean, I've looked around. Your servants are happy. You are wealthy beyond measure. And I sat and I listened to the counsel and advice and the wisdom. And she was in awe. And she said, the half has not yet been told. Folks, the gospel is that way. The more we delve into the truth and live it, we're in awe. This is wonderful. But this is what the Lord wants it to be among us as a people. And I would say it starts with us individually, and then in our personal homes, as a congregation, when you go to work, the people you rub shoulders with, Lord, help them to be able to look on. And they may say, I don't really understand this, and you're kind of different. Well, thank the Lord for being different this morning. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Thank God for that. That's what we're called to. But at the end of the day, they should be able to look on and say, you know what? Yeah, you seem to be happy. I see something work. There's a spirit about you that's just different, and there should be a draw there. Living proof. That's what the Lord is looking for this morning. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, you are living a living epistle written in our hearts. You know, the Lord is looking on and he wants to be able to trust all of us this morning to stand faithful and true. And I just want to challenge us. I am personally challenged this morning. All right, so I want anybody to think I'm just up here preaching at you. Lord, help me. But I'm challenged that in every area of our life, that we say, Lord, I want to be living proof. I want it to go beyond the theology. I want it to go beyond this. Well, this is what the Bible teaches. But Lord, help us to be the city that you talked about when you talked about the city that is on a hill. It said, cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And then he said, let your light, this was the exhortation of Christ, let your light so shine that what? That they can see your good works and lift you up and say, wow, you're something special? Is that what it said? No, that they may see your good works and do what? glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, God has called us to be a holy people. Outwardly, the way we dress, the way we conduct ourselves on the outside, but the root of holiness is in the heart. It means the fruit of the Spirit. That's holiness. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all of those things. That's true spirituality. And it starts at home. That's where it starts. So let's be living proof this morning, and let's let our light shine so people can look on, not say, oh, they're so self-righteous, but that they can look on and see the glory of God, because it's only because of His goodness and His power that we can live this way this morning. I don't want to be known as a person that used to have an experience with God. I don't want the congregation here to be known as, they're kind of like a wax museum. You know, people that they used to have something and they don't have it anymore. Lord, help us to live and be living proof, not dead, but living proof of the reality of the gospel. Amen.